recap of last week. I talked about meeting with your cardiologist. Yeah. Talked about what is truly in your heart. Amen. It's important for us to understand what's in our heart. This part of the series, what's in your heart series. Amen. What is truly in your heart? I talked about that last week. We talked about you actually going with me to the doctor last week and going to your doctor's office and some of the things that a cardiologist will do. He have a face-to-face interview. He's having a face-to-face interview. Mm-hmm. And then from the interview, your case is being reviewed. And then from your case being reviewed, you follow up with a interaction. And then there's a diet that they may put you on. Amen. There's a diet that they may put you on. And then from that diet, then it turns around. There's a, we call it enlightening test. Amen. And the enlightening test is the test where they basically, they put stress on you. Amen. They test your heart. They call it a stress test. And then from a stress test, they look at the results of the test and determine what is needed for that particular person to overcome the issues of the heart. Amen. And then they go into the fact-finding interview with you, talking about what's available to you, what your options are. And then at that point, the patient have to make a confession or make what we call a decision, amen, as to whether or not they're going to have the surgery or not going to have the surgery. And last week we talked about the confession was a decision to serve Jesus in the name of Jesus, right? We talked about the confession was we asking God to forgive us of our daily sins, amen, asking God to give us the strength to forgive someone else in the name of Jesus, amen. And I think last week was a very enlightening and touching service as I led that opportunity last week to ask my own family for forgiveness, my brothers and my sisters, amen, and my wife last week. So God is doing something, but we need to understand the issues of the heart, amen. The heart itself, babe, can you go to the text? Take me to the text. Amen. Hope you all can hear me clear. John 14 and 1. I'm going to deal with this in a few minutes, but before I deal with John, I want to deal with something else that God put on my heart, times that we all dealing with, right? And I want something that really jumped out at me yesterday when I was driving, and this morning when I woke up, I couldn't shake it. And the Lord kept dealing with me. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So this morning, I want to deal with you all that are having troubled hearts. Amen. Trouble. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then as I began to do a little research myself, late last night, I was up and I was doing some research in the King James Bible. Do you know that in the Bible, it never mentioned the brain, not one time, but it mentioned the heart 826 times. Catch this. It never mentioned the brain in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible the brain is mentioned. It's cited, the heart is cited 826 times in the Bible, in the New King James, in the King James Version. And then I went a little bit deeper. I wanted to know what was he saying about the scriptures in the Bible. The Bible uses the word heart primarily to refer to the ruling center of the whole person, the spring of all desires. Let me repeat myself. The Bible uses the word heart, primarily the whole person, spring of all desires. According to the Bible, the heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all of the operations of human life. Then I went a little bit deeper, and I said, let me do a little more research. What does the heart represent spiritually? It is the locus of the physical and spiritual being, represents the central wisdom of feelings as opposed to the head wisdom of reason. Feelings versus reason, amen? It is compassion and understanding, life-giving, and very complex. Often known as to set the emotions of the heart, is synonymous with affection. So I want to give you a little bit of background about the heart and why the heart is so important and why he mentioned the heart 826 times. Amen. The heart is like the engine, amen, is like the center of life, amen. Can't live without a heart. Hallelujah. So spiritual, see a clean heart. Go clean your heart. He was talking about the heart itself. Be troubled this morning, church. You believe in God, right? Amen. We all believe in God. He's also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. Next. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You hear a lot of this. You hear a lot of John 14, verses 1 through 3, and a lot of funerals. But and this is not just talking about going up to heaven to be with the Lord. I want to break this down a little bit this morning to you so we can get to a place where we understand how it's important for us to have a clean heart. Amen. In verse 4, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, everybody know about Thomas, right? Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, and Jesus said, I am the way. I am what? I am the way. I am, he is what? The truth, and he's the life. So look, catch this, church. If he is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, then it would be ignorant for us not to follow him. Hold up. I'm not calling you ignorant. I'm saying, he said, I am the way, right? The truth. Amen. The Bible say what? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free from the bondages of life. Come on, church. We get the truth. Counterfeit truth sometimes, amen, that comes into our life. It appears to be the truth, but it's from the enemy and deceptive. He said, I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. For from now on, you do not know him and have seen him. You do know him, sorry. You do know him and have seen him. Verse 8. We're going to go somewhere. Stay with me this morning. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. So they still not really believing. Amen. In verse 9, Jesus answered again, don't you know me, Philip? Even if I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Then the interesting part of the text. Now, Philip had been hanging out with Jesus, right? It seems like when you hang out with somebody, you really should get to what? You would kind of know them a little bit, right? He said, after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. It means that we've seen Jesus, then y'all said, what? Have seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? In verse 10, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father's in me? See, they intertwine here, amen. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, catch this. When God is speaking to you, here we go, get this nugget. It ain't just Jesus speaking to you. He's speaking on behalf of what? Of the Father. Amen. He said, I do not speak on my own authority, which means that he is getting revelation from the Father so that you can get the revelation to do whatever he's calling you to do. Amen. So he said, I'm not coming in my own, understand this for a minute, my own authority, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work through him. Amen. So he wants to live in us. Amen. So that we can do the work through. He could do the work through us. Amen. See, you as an extension, you as an extension of what God is doing. Amen. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became an extension of the Father. Here we go. Oh, here we go. Of the Father's work that wanted to work through you to use you. Verse 11. He said, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the work themselves. Now catch this. Now this is Jesus talking here, right? And he is saying, hey, basically believe what I'm saying. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Then he counter responded and say, hey, or at least believe on what you saw. Amen. It's too many times, you know, God will give us a testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. We've seen God work in our lives. We've seen God work on our behalf. We've seen God deliver people. We've seen God save family and friends. We've seen God just show up supernaturally, and we still questioning whether God is with us or not. You're good until the next fix. Amen. Here we go, church. You're good until you got to have that next fix. Amen. When we believe in God, oh, yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, use me, Lord. I make myself available. All this other stuff that we sing and the songs that we sing, and we excited about that one miracle that took place, amen, amen, or that one testimony that God showed us in our lives, amen, or that one prayer that God answered. And then it seems like as time goes on, we forget about the other prayers that were answered and the other testimony after testimony that he's brought us through, the evidence of the works that he's worked in our lives, amen, until we get in trouble again. And he said, at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they would do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Now catch this, church, catch this. We're living in a day and time right now where people really don't believe in healing miracles. They speak it. You don't hear a bunch of preaching on healing, amen. You don't want to a bunch of preachers are raising people from the dead, amen. The same spirit that's in Jesus, the same spirit that's in you, amen. We're supposed to be able to speak things into existence. We're supposed to be able to lay hands on people and the sick shall be healed. We're supposed to be able to carry out the call that God have on our life, amen. He said that they will even do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. When you go through the Son to get to the Father, but a matter of fact, I love it. I love it, because he said, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. If you believe in Christ and if you believe in him, he said, you will do the works. Hallelujah. Verse 13, church. And I would do whatever you ask. Here we go, church. Here we go. See, too many times, I got to get this one. You ain't got no power in your name. Amen. Look, you doing things in your own name. Amen. Want your name to be great. Amen. Carry titles and all those. Yes, I believe in titles. I believe in everything that goes along in my name. If you want something to be done by Christ, you have to do it in his name. He's not going to endorse your name and you get the glory. He said, I'm going to give my glory to no man. And we have to understand that when you do it in his name, in the name of Jesus, I ask for healing. In the name of Jesus, I ask for my son to be delivered. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be healed from COVID. In the name of Jesus, you can open up opportunities. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not in Eric Majette's name. I've done stuff in my name that wore me out. My name ain't important. His name is the most important name in my life now. And I had to come to a place of my own relationship with God to realize that, hey, sometimes when your name get big, you get big headed. Right. And when I'm trying to take you to a place, Amen. I'm trying to take you to a place where my son, amen, name is in the Father is being glorified. In verse 4, he said, you may ask me for anything. Church, I want y'all not to miss anything. Anything you're dealing with right now, if you ask in his name, he said, I'll do it. He said, in his name, I would do it. So whatever you need right now, whatever you seeking God for, ask in his name. He said, I would do it. You want a new car? I'm going to break it down just a little bit for you. Okay? Let's come down a little bit. Go on the lot and start laying hands on them. In his name. Touch and agree. You want a new home? Start riding through the neighborhoods agreeing with him. Won't your body heal? Put your hands right where the pain is at and start talking in his name. Hallelujah. You gotta believe it to receive it. You gotta believe it to receive it. In verse 15. Now, let me break this down just a little bit more, church. He said, you know what, Eric, if you love me, keep my commands. When you love somebody, you love anything, someone else, you honor them. He said, keep my if you love me. He said in number 6, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. He's basically saying, I am the intercessor between me, you, and the Father. He's like our attorney, amen, that goes to the Father on what? On our ability to talk to the Father. Amen. So he said in verse 16, he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Verse 17. Okay. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know with you and be in you. Now catch this. He said the Spirit of truth, he said the world cannot accept him, but neither sees nor knows him. When you got saved, you didn't see a person, spirit, that came in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came into your life. Amen. He said, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, which means that, now catch this, church, catch this to all y'all believers that's walking around, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I love it all. I'm with you on that. But guess what? Guess what? He lives inside of you. You have his spirit with you in the Jesus. He's in you 12/24/7. Do you know how to activate the spirit that lives in you to overcome challenging times? Amen. To overcome obstacles in the name of Jesus. In 18, said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he said, I will come to you in verse 19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And then in verse 20, he said, on that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I'm in you. So there's a three-part relationship. here we go. There's a three-part relationship here. The Father, amen, the Son, and you. He said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, for the one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So that means that this is a relationship that's been created between you, the Son, and the Father, amen? And this is a relationship where there's a unconditional love. Here we go, church. Hope you can hear me because we're having technical problems. There's an unconditional love, amen, where his love do not have any conditions, but our love have conditions. I love you, Lord, if you do this. I love you, Lord, if you do that. I love you, Lord, if you do this. Lord, if you love me, will you show me this? Lord, if you love me, will you do this? Lord, if this, if that, love you, love me, all this. But he's saying that his love is unconditional. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. Now, church, we have no problem with some of this, but the biggest problem I see we have is keeping the commands. We want the blessing, but we don't want to follow the commands. Amen. We want the Bentley. We want the homes. We want the new job. We want the promotion. We want more money, but we won't follow the commands to get it. The commands is what touches the heart of God so that he can keep his promises, but his promises will never fail us. Amen. We want all this stuff, but we want to often that we become complacent in our walk with Christ. I've been there in the name of Jesus. We become complacent where we think we got it all together. Amen. We know God. We know when he's going to show up. We know when he's not going to show up. We know when to go to church. We know when to raise our hands. We know when to say hallelujah. We know when the keyboard hit the guy, hit the musician hit the keyboard. We know how to jump. We know how to shout. We know how to do all that stuff. But do we know how to just keep the commands? The commands in the name of Jesus. The commands. As I began to study this thing, and I began to realize that the heart is so challenging sometimes. Amen. And in the Bible, I will just give you a few scriptures that's not going to be shown here in Matthew about the heart. In Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where your treasure is, is also your heart will also be." So catch this, church, and I can preach another whole sermon on that. So where your treasure is where your heart will also be. If your treasure is your money, that's where your heart going to be. If your treasure is the things that you have in life, material possessions, that's where your heart is going to be. Amen. If your treasure is your wife or your husband, that's where your heart is going to be. If your treasure is your family, that's where your heart is going to be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then in Proverbs verse 3 and verse 5, it say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, but all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Too many times we are trying to lean to our own understanding. Have you ever asked God, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Lord, I don't know why this is going on, Lord God. And then you start to lean to your own understanding. Even when you've gotten blessed, catch this. Even when God has blessed you supernaturally, you say, you know what, Lord, I don't deserve it. I don't even understand how this happened. He said, but trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean means don't lean, don't lay on your, rely on your own understanding, but rely on the understanding of the Lord with your heart. In Proverbs 4:23, above all else, now this is the church, this is a good one. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So he's saying to you, you have to guard your heart. You can't let people continually to tear your heart apart. Amen. Hallelujah, church. I don't know who this is for, but you got to guard your heart. Amen. You don't give your heart to any and everybody and anything that walks on earth. Amen. Or anything that you see that always can look good, but not might be good for you. So he said, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Have anybody ever had a broken heart in a relationship? Anybody? Can't eat, can't sleep, don't want to go to work. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had their heart broken from family members? Anybody ever had a heart broken from a job that treated you unfairly? Anybody ever had a heart broken from a child, a boy, or a girl, a daughter or a son? He said, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Amen. And let me just explain something to you, because I want to make this real clear. God don't look at your actions. He looks at your heart. Because if he looked at our actions, we all would be in trouble. Now, could you imagine if God came out and said, you know what? I want to do a video and show it to the world of your thoughts for the last 5 minutes. What would that look like in your life? I would show a video of you. I would record everything that you did in the last 24 hours, not the things that people could see, but just your thoughts. I would have put them up front. We all would be scared. Stuff you even acted upon. Things that you just thought about. So he said, above all things, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And then Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform, church, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means that a shift has to take place in the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God will is good and pleasing and perfect will for your life. So we have to understand that we should not be conforming to the pattern of this world. And you know, to be frank with you, sometimes it's easy to not conform to the pattern of this world. It's hard to not to conform. It's hard not to conform to the pattern of this world, because the world has so much to offer us. I mean, the world has so many things that's going around us, amen. And a lot of times, some people don't even want, the people know they say. So you got two sets of guidelines. You got your saved friends and you got your unsaved friends. Amen? And you never want to see the unsaved friends and the saved friends come together, because you want the unsaved friends to know that you saved. Amen? And then you want the saved friends to know that you really saved. Amen? So we got this thing where we talk one language. We don't share Jesus with the unsaved, because we're doing the same thing that the world is doing. And then when we come into the church, and we come into the house of God, we talk like Jesus, we walk like we say, we act like we say, we shout like we say, and then we can transform and conform from being acting like we say, and you probably is saved. Amen. If you gave your life to Christ. But then again, there's a walk we have on our shoulders, amen, to carry the mantle, as well as carrying the cross, amen. And as we begin to do that, God begins to reveal more of himself to us. We are the answer, church. We are the answer. In Proverbs 23 and 26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. And my last one before I close, Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a pure heart. You know, when you say that, let me tell you something. God will show you so many things that's in your heart that needs to be cleaned out. He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And see, when we and the heart, that we've been able to move forward into the things of God, into the deeper things of God. Because I always said this to myself, revelation time. When somebody's coming to you, I was telling you what God said to them for you, right? But never say what God said to them for them. Watch it. Because you should know what God said to you for you. Because if you spend time with him, he's going to reveal himself to you. to give you the word that the Lord will want you to have for you at that season, at that moment. Amen. So my point in saying what I'm saying is that let's work on church as a body. Let's work on as believers. Amen. To walk towards having a clean heart, to walk towards keeping the commands of God, to walk towards worshiping God in spirit and say in truth. Amen. And have those dialogues with God, those honest dialogues with God at nighttime, in your prayer closet. Talk to God, allow God to use you. Because he said his love is unconditional. There's nothing you can do about it. As we walk and we live the life that God has given us, as we come before the Lord this morning, I tell you, I just got so much understanding there that I never understood before. But that understanding only came from spending time with God, me and God, in my private prayer closet. And understanding, he never lost a fight, church. He's have a perfect record in all of our lives in the name of Jesus. So this is a time where the best has yet to come. This is a time you ain't seen nothing yet. We in the middle of a transition. As a matter of fact, we in the middle of a new order. Amen. And God has put everybody on front. And what I mean by on front is to a place now where if you got to have a building to worship God, then you never had a relationship with God. If you gotta have a worship team to get you up and going to get you start praising God, you don't need a worship team. You are the worship team. Amen. Praise him in your sleep. Praise him at night. Praise him in your car. Talk to him in the bathroom. He already knows your heart. And he said he will give you the desires of your heart. Thank you this morning. We transitioning now to another part of the service. I thank God and I love you all. And remember this, that Jesus is your cardiologist. He is the answer to everything. There's nobody else you need to go to but him. And I promise you, he said his word will not, the word of the Lord will not return void.